It's time. Hi, everybody. I'm a real alcoholic. My name's Harmon Vili. It's good to be back here again. First and foremost, it's been a fast 2016, I guess it was, right? It's been a challenge for a lot of us. I think it's called that life thing. But God, is it good to be back? And what I mean is back down here, back home, if you will, and it's a great thing to, it's a good day to be alive, it's a good day to be sober, and it's a greater day to be in this basement tonight for a lot of sordid reasons. I always like to start with a couple housekeeping issues and where we're at, and like I said, I introduced myself as Harmon Vili, a real alcoholic, and we'll find out that this is what we're going to find in this book. And by the way, these three up here, we'll get down to this thing that we're talking about, this big book. And I also say I'm a real alcoholic of the hopeless variety, because I am what I am, and that's all that I am. And thank God I found it, what's wrong with me in this book. I'll never forget a lot of times in the beginning when somebody say you're an alcoholic, I said, no, I'm not. And they said, if you ain't, I don't know if there is such a thing. And they said, if you ain't, I sure hope the hell you find out what's wrong with you. So I'm glad I'm an alcoholic today. Yeah, I'm glad that I'm an alcoholic. But anyhow, where are we? We are at the 23rd annual. It's called the Nuts, N-U-T-S, and that's, if you're going to have to get used to that sloppy writing. And this is the glorified version, and that NUT stands for not using the steps. And I guarantee you, if you ain't drinking and you're not using the steps, you will be nuts on a good day. And we've grown from a study to a big book experience, because we find out that knowledge is a great thing, but knowledge is not power. And knowledge is a great thing, and sometimes knowledge can be a liability and not an asset. So bear with me. So anyhow, this is a beautiful thing that's made, and as you want to peruse this, as you can see, look at these coins. Look at this 23rd coin, and then the man on the bed that we know about, and something that it's a lost art in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'll try to keep the editorials down to a minimum. If you believe that, keep coming back. But anyhow, that is it's a thing called the Declaration of Unity. So, yes, we will talk about that. So it's a beautiful thing, and God, that is, that's a priceless heirloom in itself. Anyhow, because of God's grace and because I'm a member of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, I found the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous in a book called Alcoholics Anonymous. I have been sober today, 10,771 days, which is 29 years, 5 months, and 24 days. And for that, I am grateful, and so are a lot of other people. I usually try to find out who that other people would be, and it would be my boss, because I came back to work today. I had the flu, and he was glad I was back so he could go out and play. Anyhow, want to make that clear that that is not because of me. That's in spite of me. And that's one of the exercises that we want to get from this thing called recovery, and not just physical sobriety, where it comes from. And it's not something that I do. It's something that I get. And I can painfully say, if you try to get things in life, they will always elude you. You receive things when you are ready to receive them. The gifts come from the giver. And obviously, Graham White?
Hey, Graham.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see you next week. Anyhow, yes, if you're looking for something, it will always elude you. And when you are not, then it will come to you, has been my experience. So, as a general rule of thumb, we ask that you stay down here. The church has been so generous to allow us to come here. If you need the restrooms or drinking fountain right across the hall, please don't go anywhere else in the church. Smokers, if you can, go outside the door, butt can to the left, and make sure they get in there, not in the bushes, in the trees, in your neighbor's eyes, whatever you guys do with them anymore. It's been a few years since I smoked. Also, over to my right, Bob has graciously agreed to record this. And if you want to punish somebody, buy a set. I don't know where this goes. They are very generous with what they do with that. Please see Bob for the arrangements. Appreciate you doing that. To my left, we have Sue here. And Sue has a couple things. We will verify your resentment sheet or your gift certificate, whatever you want to call that. Divorce papers, whatever. I don't know, whatever you do with them. We also have schedules here. We are here 19 weeks from January 4th to the 31st with 3 weeks off. February the 8th, that's an important day. Scott, is your surgery still scheduled in? Two knees is going to be done on that, and we're off on that to commiserate with Scott. And then we're off on two in May, and we'll talk about that later on. Lord willing, there won't be any changes on that. We had big books over there. We had about seven or nine. I guess we're going to, we'll get back to that. One or two things, either sales are good or we have a bunch of kleptomaniacs tonight. So that's all good, too. So if you don't have a book, we insist that you get one. If you can't afford it, it is on the group, and hopefully you'll be in the position to pay for it, make time payments, however you want to do it. But I'm sorry that somebody was asking for one and we ran out already, so we will address that. Also, we have a sign-up sheet, and you'll see the reason that we have this. We ask you just one time only when you're here to put your name and a phone number and your sobriety date. The phone number, in case there would be an emergency cancellation, we would try to stop the show and call you and say, don't come. The sobriety date, you'll see what we do with the numbers on that. It's absolutely fascinating, but don't sign it each week. That way we would have some numbers that wouldn't be correct. Volunteers, how? Who was looking for the book? So we got passing books, and I think that one book's going to come back up to this guy over here with the orange hair. Here we go. There it is. It's like musical books. Perfect. Volunteers. Okay, this doesn't happen by ourselves. We got set up guys over here. We got a great crew, but tear down, as you can see, we got a large contingency here, so any help in doing both would be much appreciated. This end down here, Mr. Thomas takes care of the important seventh tradition as far as meeting our expenses, and if we could go ahead and address that as we start here, that is always most helpful. Last but not least, we are asking for anniversaries of 1 year or more. Certainly there's somebody in here.
465 days today.
How many?
465.
Oh, okay. That's a miracle.
Yes, it is.
Anybody else?
I'm Frankie. I'm an alcoholic, and on Sunday we celebrated 2 years.
All right. Anybody else? Well, that's awesome. Congratulations. Also, we have a special announcement. Cheryl, where are you? Something with the office. We had some issues, but we...
I'm Cheryl. I'm an alcoholic. Your groups are not going to get their lead sheets and announcements this week. If you need them, you can pick them up at the office. We have some computer issues at the office. They will be repaired Friday afternoon, but you will get your lead sheets with me on next week. But this week, if you must have them,
Thanks, Cheryl. Okay. All right. So now that we got the niceties out of the way, this time period that we're together, I was talking to somebody. It was Wednesday before New Year's, and she says, you going to do that this year? And I said, yeah. She goes, how long are you going to do it? And I said, well, I guess when I show up and there's nobody else here, I guess then we'll be done. So this happens to be the 23rd year, and we'll get into a little history because it's absolutely fascinating what God can, does, and will do. And that's a story in itself. But also she goes, man, you're intense. I started laughing. I said, intense, I would have to say that would be inspired or that would be passion. that goes to what we are going to talk about really from the beginning is I would strongly suggest that you have a Webster's Dictionary, and this is for show. What I'm saying is what I found most helpful is the collegiate, because the English language is absolutely fascinating with one word having 14, 15 definitions, and I need to get the right definition or definitions as far as it is in this book that we're going to be talking about. It is absolutely crucial, a matter of life and death. But anyhow, it's going to be a little bit controversial the time we're together, and somebody says, oh my God, not another controversy in AA. And yes, because we're going to be talking about AA in AA, and I kind of tongue-in-cheek. In other words, we're going to be talking about what the name of this textbook says, Alcoholics Anonymous. It doesn't say hyphen, it doesn't say anda, it doesn't say comma, it doesn't say et cetera, et cetera. The name of this textbook is called Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'll be darned, that is the name of our fellowship too. So controversial to talk about AA in AA. I'll give you an example, and we do a lot of history in a general way, and I think it's important that we know where we're at. There was a famous writer and historian that said a civilization or society that no longer exists, they all have one thing in common. They forgot where they came from. So, I can't know where I'm at unless I know where I've been, and I can't know where I'm going unless I know where I'm at. So our history is our prized and our most valuable asset in God's hands. Speaking of which, and we're going to do a little bit of history about this, is about the Serenity Prayer. And it's important, and you'll see, stick with us, where this thought and where this idea is going when we get into the forewords. It's absolutely fascinating in one respect and then kind of concerning in another. But here's the history of our Serenity Prayer. You notice I didn't say the word my, because it's not mine. By the way, I don't have nothing. Everything I get is a gift from God. Therefore, it's not mine, it's God's. And that's why when somebody talks about God's truck got a flat tire the other day, I don't like to hear that. Or God wants to spend some of his money. I said, wait a minute, have him spend some of yours, not mine. But anyhow, we'll get there. So here's the history of our Serenity Prayer. And what we tried to do, for the most part, is keep conference approved. And this is conference approved. It's comes of AA, comes of age, page 196. Our 12 and 12, not 12 by 12, that's a piece of lumber, conference approved. And we will be going back to this now and then. Page 100 and 101, as Bill sees it on page 20. As Bill sees it on 108, absolutely fascinating where and how this prayer originated. In 1941, a news clipping was called to our attention by a New York member. In an obituary notice from a local paper, there appeared these words, quote, God grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Never had we seen so much AA in so few words. With amazing speed, the Serenity Prayer came into general use. Absolutely fascinating that it's warped from 1941 to whenever it was, where it's God grant me the serenity, etc., etc., etc. Because when the I, me, or my is a different world than the we, us, and ours, and you'll see a link on what I'm talking about. So, we have been saying the Serenity Prayer how you want, but before we even pray a prayer from the heart versus saying a prayer from the head, I can say a prayer from my head and I can give God lip service, and he knows that and he can take it. But praying a prayer from the heart versus saying a prayer from the head is totally different. And also, we've experienced before we pray a prayer, we go to a quiet place. It's been a busy day, January 4th, 2017. So before we pray the prayer, if we could go to that quiet place and kind of still ourselves. And how about if we'll start with the Serenity Prayer, please. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Another prayer that we've stolen, it's all good. There's nothing new in AA, right? Okay. Is this thing called the set-aside prayer. Now, I tell you what, this has been life-changing for me on a daily basis, but monthly, yearly, now that we've been doing it. And what it is, it helps me get out of the way where God can do what he do. And it's called the set-aside prayer. And the reason that I ask for that is, I'll speak for myself, I know enough about AA and alcoholism to be dangerous to myself. What I know can be a liability, not an asset. Somebody says, what are you talking about? Well, it's real simple. If you start a spiritual journey with all the answers, you ain't got no questions, you're done. Go. You don't need to be here. Get. So I know who the enemy is. I get a regular visit from the enemy quite frequently, and it's in between my ears. So, yeah. They say every anniversary you get, I mean, besides the medallion that we're talking about, is you get a new committee member. You don't lose one, you gain one. And you stay sober long enough, you know what I'm talking about. So anyhow, this set-aside prayer, it helps because we come with basic knowledge and ideas. So, like I said, say a prayer and everything you think you know be put aside for an open mind. And this prayer can be honed down to whatever issue you're dealing with. And by the way, if you got issues, it's issue. I don't know if your sponsor told you or not, but anyhow. The set-aside prayer goes as follows. Lord, today, help me set aside everything I think I know about you, everything I think I know about myself, everything I think I know about others, everything I think I know about my own recovery, for a new experience in myself, a new experience in my fellows, and a new experience in my own recovery. The reason that we keep going with this E word, by the way, and we'll be talking a lot about that, and that's what this book is, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else, it's experience. And experience is history, it's undebatable, it's not a philosophy, it's not an idea, it's not a theory, it is what it is. Thank God we have this book of experience, and that's why that E word is priceless, especially in this journey of recovery. The experience. So my experience with that is obviously be specific what I think I need to go, whether that be the book, the steps, myself, God, the disease, and can open up Pandora's box, whatever you need to do on an individual basis. But be careful, we were talking about that before. When you doubt your beliefs and you believe your doubts, it's going to put you in an area where it's uncertainty is going to come. And that's a great thing because that's the only way you're going to grow. Because like I said, I need to turn these things that are in here, these statements into questions for my life. And obviously the questions into statements, doubt my beliefs and believe my doubts and challenge myself. Is this me? Okay. So now that's one of the things we want to look for. And we've taken something from this book here called The 12 Steps and the 12 Traditions. We've used it, page 15, I believe it is. In fact, I know it is. He has an introductory paragraph. We've stolen that or borrowed it, if you will, as our mission statement or our mantra of what we want to achieve from now until the end of May. And it goes as follows. AA's 12 Steps, a group of principles, spiritual in nature, which, if practiced as a way of life, can expel the obsession to drink, enable the sufferer to be happily and usefully whole. That covers a whole lot of ground. What that is, that's a recovered alcoholic. That's a real deal, emotional sobriety. Appendix 2 in the big book, he has about 13 different words about the word change. And it's about happily and usefully whole. So, now that's important about that. As you can see, we have a couple things on the board. And I think it's kind of important that we look at these. A lot of times somebody says, by the way, this is me, and two phone numbers. please don't hesitate to call up, cuss, complain, or whatever it is. I will take a number, and I will call you back if I am not available, but please do so. Somebody said, my God, you're breaking anonymity. I said, oh, really? Now, let's see about actually what that is. We tried to use conference-approved stuff to explain where we're coming from. Oh, speaking of conference-approved, understanding anonymity. That's why, no, this isn't a disease. That's my name, Harmon Vealey. You know, I drank on that for a long, long time. Anyhow, facts about anonymity, page number 10. Actually, it goes on to number 11. It has some bullet points. Bullet point number 8. Use last names within the fellowship, especially for election and group officers or other service jobs. So, please don't tell me you're Jim S. Don't tell me you're Sally Q. And here's why. I need to know who you are and what you are so I can save my life and maybe save your lives by using God. And here's how it happened. Our good co-founder, Dr. Bob in Akron, Ohio, he said, obviously, in Dr. Bob and Good Old Timers, oh, I'll be darned, another conference-approved book. Okay, you'll see where we're going. It happens to be on page 264 and 265. I'm adamant about this, about first and last names in Alcoholics Anonymous. Dr. Bob said there were two ways to break the anonymity tradition. Number one, by giving your name at the public level of press, radio, film, TV, and, of course, cyberspace. We all get that. But he said number two, by being so anonymous that you can't be reached by other drunks. And how that happened is he did a talk in Detroit, and he was driving back with whoever he was with, and the guy who asked him was Bill J, we'll call him. And Bill J says, Dr. Bob, thanks for coming up here. And he says, you guys be careful going back, and if you have any problems, call me. Dr. Bob goes, that would be real nice, but guess what? When I look you up in the phone book, Bill J's, you know how many they are. And he was adamant about that. In Alcoholics Anonymous, use your first and your last name, and I guarantee you, you will be within our parameters of anonymity. In fact, well within them in the suggested way. So I can't tell you how important all of our literature is. Not some of it, not most of it, not a lot of it. And you'll get tired of me hearing that. I'm saying all of it, okay? Very, very important. So, now, you've seen what we have over here. And God bless you guys. If you don't have glasses, by the time you're done, you're going to need them. I guarantee you that. So if you can't see over here, that nuts, we talked about that, not using the steps. And our goal is to turn you, and don't anybody get their undies in a bunch. And by the way, if you do, we do have spoons so you can dig it out. Now, we're going to have some fun here. We're going to have some fun here, so don't take yourself too serious. And Dr. Bob was a proctologist, and we're going to do the same thing on you if you're too serious now. So, all right, so just... And you can tell your sponsor all you want on me. I can go ahead and take it. So anyhow, we're going from nuts, don't get offended, too bad, to sluts. Somebody says, well, my God, there ain't an alcoholic in this room that doesn't know what a slut is, right? Okay. No, sluts is sober living using the steps. Come on, y'all. We're talking about change. We're talking a whole lot more than sobriety or recovery. I mean, that is the difference between night and day, as big as the difference between the fellowship and program. And how do we get from a nut to a slut? It's gonna take G, God, and UTS, God using the steps, so you can see the metamorphosis. That's what we're trying to do. Oh, that's right, to be happily and usefully whole. Whole with yourself, whole with Almighty God, whole with your fellow man. That's called recovery, because guess what? If I'm whole, I won't want to drink, I don't have to drink, and I'm not going to drink. That's what you call a recovered alcoholic from the seamless, hopeless state of mind and body. So, somebody says, how did you get up here to talk? And I'll never forget, I think it was the state convention, and they were up there, and if you've ever been to a state convention, you got GSR, General Service Rep, you got DCM, District Committee Member, you got delegates, you got past delegates, you got panel this, you got this and that or whatever. And oh, okay. And I was invited to talk up there. And we were sitting around this table, and they're saying, I'm Area 54 delegate, panel this, and yada, 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 all that. And they said, what's your credentials? And I said, I'm a Ph.D. Their ears perked up. I said, Ph.D.? And I said, yeah, I'm a poor, helpless drunk. Come on, y'all. No, that's what. But talking about going from a nut to a slut, poor, helpless drunk, you know what that's turned out to be? Peaceful, happy, and dignified. That's what we're talking about. So now another thing, talking about PhD and about a lot of people taking too serious. I was on a county board down there, and there's psychiatrists, and there's attorneys, and there's judges, and there's lawyers, and all they're all sitting around the table, and it's me. I'm sitting there looking around. Yeah, it's a story in itself. They were talking about this degree and that degree, and they said, what institution you come from? I said, well, let me see. I came from Summit County Jail, the Cleveland Jail. I've been a lot of institutions, but not what you're looking for. So, yeah, all of a sudden, they just kind of scooted their chairs down to the end of the table, and they left me alone the rest of the day. So, anyhow, that's the education we have. Poor, helpless drunk. God Almighty, is that a great thing. So, we are going to talk about some acronyms, if you will. We're going to talk about the alcoholic. And we were going to talk about alcoholism. And contrary to what a lot of people may be disappointed, we are going to be not talking a whole... I think we dropped it out, didn't we, huh? Take away the alcohol and the word alcohol, you're left with the ick. And you're left with the ism of alcoholism. We're talking about it. Alcohol is but a symptom of what's wrong. The bottle is but a symbol. We're going to talk about the illness, the sickness, the malady of alcoholism, what this book talks about. Okay, now obviously we talk about the big book. And this year we're going to do a little bit of different. I've been challenged, do you have anything new? And yes, I do. I've had some new already. So now, here's something, and we talked about it maybe in years past. What does the big book stand for? Believing in God beats our old knowledge. Everybody could say that is a proper acronym for the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And this one we have done, but we will do that again. AWOL, and you guys know about that. When you used to get drunk, you never go back on the ship or on the base or whatever. No, that's AWOL, a way of living. That's what this is about, not a way of not drinking. We're talking about a way of living. Obviously, a way of living, obviously, and how do we do that? Using Cal, and I got that from our Al-Anon friends. CAL stands for Conference Approved Literature, and that's for the most part is what we're doing, Conference Approved Literature. So, obviously, we're going to talk about alcohol and alcoholism, and G-R-O-W, you're going to have to stay with that. We're going to finish that up later on today, this evening, and the word Alcoholics Anonymous, actually very, very fascinating acronym for that. Oh, go ahead and go with that there, okay? Alcoholics, you might want to write this down, not a bad thing. Alcoholic, plural, a life centered on helping others live in complete sobriety. Anonymous, actions, not ours, namely yield maintenance of uninterrupted sobriety. Yeah, I would say that would be a good definition. So we'll do a couple of acronyms a week just to kind of keep you new and fresh, if you will. Now, I beg your pardon?
Read that slower?
All right. Buy the CDs and slow it down. How's that? Yeah. Okay, which one? What would you like me to read slower?
The last thing that you read there.
Okay, Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics is a life centered on helping others live in complete sobriety. That's the word alcoholics, plural. And as you can see, I'll blame the board. I didn't have room to write all that, John. Okay. And then anonymous, actions, not our names, yield maintenance of uninterrupted sobriety. And the big book is Believing in God Beats Our Old Knowledge. Perfect. Now, something new. Where is she? She's over here. She goes, you going to have anything new? Actually, I do. Bill Wilson wrote this in 1955, and this is why we're here. Listen to what he said. This is before the second edition came out, by the way. But listen to what he wrote on this. Each of us in AA has received the gift of sobriety. All of us, notice he didn't say some, most, a lot, quite a few. All of us have found a new usefulness, and most of us have found great happiness. If that's not in your experience with your vocabulary of recovery, you might want to take a look at where we're at. But he's not done with y'all. He says, this adds up to the gift of life itself, a new life of wondrous possibility. God, did that guy have a gift of writing? I'm going to read that without interrupting, but listen to what it says. I mean, there's power there. Listen to what he says. Each of us in AA has received the gift of sobriety. All of us have found a new usefulness, and most of us have found great happiness. This adds up to the gift of life itself, a new life of wondrous possibility. So my question for you is, what is the gift of a new life worth to you? Is it worth coming here 19 weeks? I asked somebody that, and he says, I'll get back to you. So, all right, I get it. It's all good, man. We can handle that. So, anyhow, that's something new, and that's power. He really did power. So, anyhow, we are going to talk about some things in kind of humorous in nature, but serious, too. This is why we're here. And Bill wrote this in 1940. Now, get it. He wasn't sober but 5 years, and listen to how far advanced he was. Anybody write this letter in 5 years? It says, quote, it has often been said of AA that we're only interested in drinking. That is not true. We have to get over drinking in order to stay alive, but anyone who knows the alcoholic personality by firsthand contact knows that no true alky ever stops drinking permanently without undergoing a profound personality change. Oh, that's right, because we're stuck with the ick and the ism when you take the alcohol away. He wrote this later on, about 17 years later, after he wrote the big book, and it goes like this. We thought conditions drove us to drink, and when we tried to correct those conditions and found that we couldn't do so, our entire satisfaction, our drinking went out of hand and we became alcoholics. It never occurred to us that we needed to change ourselves to meet conditions, whatever they were. Absolutely fascinating on what he has done with that. So, what we're going to talk about, obviously, about the alcoholic and alcoholism, and talked about alcohol is but a symptom, the bottle is but a symbol, and I always like to start with this, and this will be the first and last time you'll hear it, and I can hear the roar in the background, thank God. All right, I'm deaf, but I ain't that deaf. Anyhow, this prayer really sums up why we're here. It's called Prayer for the Day, and it goes like this. Dear God, so far today, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I've been grumpy, nasty, or selfish. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed, and that's when I'm going to need all the help I can get. Amen. Come on, y'all. That's what the book says. Not me. So, yeah. Alcohol is but a symptom. The bottle is but a symbol. I got a drinking solution, not a problem. That's what makes me powerless over alcohol. If you got a drinking problem, quit drinking and get out of here. If you're suffering from alcoholism, you're in the right place. Two totally different. Just like the whole thing here about this thing that we talk about, sobriety and recovery. If you're having a hard time with sobriety, I'll give you a one-step program to get you a year sober immediately. Go out and punch a cop. You'll get it, man. Forget the other 11 steps. You don't need it. If you want recovery, that's something totally different. We're throwing around sobriety and recovery, and they ain't two the same. Just like we're throwing around fellowship and program, unfortunately, 2017, it is nowhere near the same of what it used to be. Keep the numbers that we're talking about on the Serenity Prayer and the history of it, and it'll come alive in itself. So we talked about that. So, and I've been around AA and in AA long enough to know that it's not what I say that counts, it's what you hear. And I'll give you an example. Thank God this is being recorded, because we can say defendant like you're on, you know, and you're in court. I had somebody say, I can't believe you said that. They were actually here. I mean, we'll talk about that. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, you said this. I said, I did not. He said, you did too. I said, let's go get it. And it's not a matter of who's right or wrong, but it's not what I say, it's what you hear. Okay, and that's why somebody says, why do people keep coming back year after year? It's the same thing. Well, yeah, it is, but no, it's not. You better not be where you're at a year ago, because we talk about that. Either you're growing or you're going. Either getting you closer to your next drink or you're getting further away from it. There is no standing in between. Okay, so yes, what I say is important, but what you hear is most important. And get past the message and the messenger, and I get that. And Bill coined this about Ebby. We find out about this, that you can always trust the message, but not the messenger. In other words, Ebby brought Bill the message of recovery or sobriety. Ebby struggled with drinking and on and off and yada yada and all that. Bill coined that. And here's a thing that I found, or actually was given to me, I kind of modified, about a message and a messenger. It's about a new man and a sponsor. It goes as follows. A new man accompanied his sponsor home for dinner and was impressed by the way he entered his house. The sponsor asked his wife how her day went, told her she looked pretty. Then after they embraced, she served them both dinner. After they ate, the sponsor complimented his wife on the meal and thanked her for it. When the two fellows were alone, the newcomer, sponsee, asked, why do you treat your wife so well? The sponsor says, well, because she deserves it and makes our marriage happier. Okay, so impressed, the sponsee decided to adopt the idea. Arriving at home, he embraced his wife and said, you look wonderful. For good measures, he's added, sweetheart, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. His wife burst into tears. Bewildered, he asked her, what in the world's the matter? She wept, what a day. Billy fought at school, the refrigerator quit and spoiled the food, and now you've come home drunk. Now, so see, same message, but different messenger. It's the message that counts, not the messenger, so get past that. And I'll give you a message that is self-sufficient. In other words, this book here, that paragraph, in my own personal experience, the 12 steps, spiritual nature, practice as a way of life, expelled obsession, in other words, my experience has been from July 10th of 87 for recovery from alcoholism, God in this book, in these 12 steps have been self-sufficient. I have not had to been tranquilized. I have not had to been hypnotized. I have not had to be baptized. I haven't had to be baptized. I haven't had to be analyzed. A lot of them want to euthanize me, but I'm still quick on my feet. So what I'm saying is, this deal is real if you're a real alcoholic and suffering from alcoholism. That's the treatment for it. And I'm not saying anything else other than alcoholism. Would not be that arrogant to say that. Okay, now, so what I'm saying is, obviously, let's hear what the book says, and we will get down to the message that we're supposed to maybe get. So, with that being said, I would like to hand out this one thing, and you know, we're going to hand this out, and I am not a paper salesman. You guys will have a lot of paper when you're done. If you are here for the 19-week easy session of recovery, you've landed in the wrong place. This is not what we're about. In other words, I never watered down my whiskey, and I'm not going to water down recovery from alcoholism. So, if you think this is what you're looking for, it's called Rent-A-Sponsor, and it goes as follows. And this you can give to your sponsor, your sponsee, or whatever. And it goes as follows. Are you tired of being told like it is? Still looking for that easier, softer way? Had enough of that same old time-tested direction? Then you are ready for Rent-A-Sponsor. Now here's what you get. No reading. No writing. No deadlines. Many models to choose from. This is the thing that caught my eye. You are always in control. Okay, now, here's some of the standard feature. They listen to your sniveling without constant reference to the steps. They consign to your excuses and rationalizations. Solve problems with relationships and financial insecurity. Working the steps you want in the order you choose. That's always helpful. And this month only, we have special features. Low interest loans for homes on the hill, high dollar imported cars, vacations for faraway places. This one always is the catch. Computerized matching service for finding Mr. or Mrs. Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And by the way, if you're looking for somebody in AA, your odds are good, but chances are your goods are going to be odd too. But that's a, yeah, different story for a different day. Anyhow, where were we? Oh, yes. Yes, at Rent-A-Sponsor, we know how uniquely you are, and we do understand. Learn the secret of giving it away before you get it with our convenient, easy two-day follow-up. Why walk the walk when you can simply talk the talk? Remember our motto, less is more. And here's the phone number. Write this down in case there wasn't enough to go around. Call 1-800-POUR-ME-1. So we are not going to go on that. So, yeah, a little bit of fun with this. And we're going to go on about the message. Here's where we're at with this message that we're going to be talking about. We talk about this thing called recovery from alcoholism and Alcoholics Anonymous. With this message and why we're here, it's simple. Either I carry the A message or I'm going to carry the disease. Somebody says, what? Because I'll never forget my first time in treatment. Yeah, I'm a multiple offender here. Anyhow, I called my wife up, soon to be ex. Anyhow, she goes like this. I said, hey, honey. And she goes, yeah. I said, you know what I found out? She says, what's that? I said, I got a disease. Silence on the other end of the phone. I said, hello. She said, I'm here. I said, do you think I have a disease? She goes, well, if you ain't got it, you sure the hell have been a carrier. So just stay away from them. Anyhow, yeah. So either I'll carry the message or I'll carry the disease. Either I carry the A message or I'll infect it. Don't kid yourself, and it spreads like wildfire. Worse than TB, worse than any plague. And you know what happens with the plague? It's an epidemic and people die. Okay? Either I'll carry the message or I'll carry this. And this is what we're not. So I'm gonna write this down. You're going to be hearing a lot of this. SS, something similar, not AA. FF, fear and fellowship. I hear that all the time. My God, if you take a drink, you're going to die. Think the drink through. Don't take a drink no matter what. What? I drink no matter what. Don't give me that crap. Don't tell me I'm going to lose a wife, a job, family, my kids. That ain't going to keep me sober. I'm powerless over alcohol. Don't tell somebody don't drink no matter what. You're going to kill them. I drink no matter what. That's why I'm powerless over alcohol. Fear and fellowship don't work. HH did a talk over on the east side of Cleveland. This guy comes up and says, man, I'm so glad to hear old-fashioned AA. There's nothing but HH around there here. I said, what? He says, HH. I said, what are you talking about? He says, hip-hop. I said, what? Help me out. Hip-hop, anything goes. No, they're not going to do that. And RR is rehab rhetoric. That's not where we're at. We're here with Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay, now, like I said, we're going to talk about alcoholism in a direct way. And we'll go ahead and get this out of the way. This is a great book. We referred to it. In fact, this is the second or third time we've already gone to it. However, do yourself a favor and save your own life and your recovery from alcoholism. Do not go to this book for any type of directions on how to take these steps. And we'll go ahead and get that out of the way. This book doesn't say these are the steps we worked. These are the steps that we took. I got news for you. The steps work you. You don't work them. The work is getting to them. You take the steps. And our recovery is based on the steps that we take, not on the meetings we make. I still go to a lot of meetings. I'm not saying that. If the fellowship and the program were the same, that might be different. But since they're two totally different things as of, for the most part, that isn't true anymore. But do not go to this. This book will not give you any directions. People love to get in this book. Do you know why? They can philosophize. They can theory, they can dance around, they can go all around it, because there are no directions in this. This was written 17 years after he wrote this. This is the directions on how to take the steps. He says in his own words, Bill, who wrote both of them, he says, obviously, these are essays or thoughts on the steps, not directions. A lot of great stuff in here. But that's not where we're going. We're going with this because that's the owner's manual. That's where we go with it. Okay, so now obviously, before we get any further, I want to make it absolutely positively clear. I am not a teacher of this book. I am a student. I've had a lot of great teachers over the years. A lot of great teachers. In fact, that's how this whole thing started, and we'll get with that. I am a student, not a teacher. I am a pupil, not an instructor. I am a patient, not a physician. I am a beggar looking for food. I am a sheep, not a shepherd. We all are teachers in here, be good or bad. And we all are students in here, either be good or bad. But I want to make that absolutely positively clear. The only reason that I'm here, and I will explain to you later on why this has been going on for as long as it has. So, obviously, I am not a... I'm just a beggar trying to tell other beggars where to get the bread. Not an expert, because you know what? There is no such thing. And the experts is like somebody who tells you 100 different ways of making love and they don't even have a boyfriend or girlfriend. That's what an expert is. Yeah, come on. Come on, y'all. So there ain't no experts. Okay. Now, we are going to go ahead and, like I said, I've been at the feet, if you will, of some of the greatest teachers, Joe and Charlie. Actually, there's some people on the Founders Day Committee. I remember it was New Year's Eve. I was got dropped on that year to get some speakers, and I called Charlie Parmalee. I'll never forget it. You can tell the house, and I remember the landline. That was the phone call, Charlie Parmalee, from Joe and Charlie's big book. And was that odd or was it God? Got him on the first phone call. That don't happen because that guy went around the world. Not around the country, not around Canada, not North America. He went around the world. He picks the phone up. This is December 31st. Founders Day is around June 10th, right? Said, Charlie, yada, yada, Harmon from Akron, are you free this weekend? Now, what were the chances of that? He says, I'll be glad to. Changed my life, changed all of our lives, because without him, I wouldn't be here today. Because that was the impetus. Obviously, that was back in the day when we didn't have hosts and whatever. You asked the speaker and you took him around, and I got to spend the lion's share of Founders Day with him. Life-changing. Not putting him on a pedestal. I'm just saying he really, life-changing. Anyhow, it was his inspiration. It was his direction. It was his insistence that something like this started. And my God, it's never been the same since then. Now, is that odd or is that God? So, I want to read you something about what alcoholism, when I say I'm an alcoholic, what alcoholism is, and obviously, when I say I'm an alcoholic, this is what I mean. This is a description of alcoholism. This comes from our big book. This comes from this book, The 12 and 12. Father Dowling, Reverend Sam Shoemaker, Dr. Thibault, Carl Jung, Dr. Ford, Bill Wilson. And he put this in written form. This is all out of conference-approved literature. It doesn't come out in this manner, but these words are all conference-approved that comes out. When I say an alcoholic, this is what I mean. Okay, these men suggest to you that I'm a full-grown, mature man. In reality, I remain childless, grandiose, and gravely emotionally immature. My natural state is that of growing anxiety, depression, and fear, coupled with an intense desire for excitement, a condition of being which is complicated by an exasperated, obsessive, compulsive, impulsive, controlling, demanding need for attention and unquestionable approval, a condition of human existence which renders me restless, irritable, discontent that affects the way I feel, think, and live. Mentally, I'm driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity, all of which drive me to live my life by accruing to selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, inconsiderate, resentful motives in life. Motives which left unintended me arouse dangerous levels of lust, anger, envy, pride, greed, sloth, and gluttony, and I turn into a pig. I want it all. That renders me emotionally, and I become a bit sensitive, okay? Socially, I'm a bankrupt, idealist, brooding perfectionist who lives defiantly and guarded in fear of being found out. As such, I tend to rationalize, minimize, justify, and deny all my actions while casting blame upon innocent people and vigorous attempts to avoid detection. Personally, of my fellow man or woman, I demand the absolute possession and control of everybody and every circumstance that enters my arena. I am quick to anger, slow to virtue. I get a distinct, succinct delight and twisted pleasure out of judging and criticizing everybody I see. My outstanding characteristics as a man is defiance. Defiance, rebellion, which dogs my every step. But as a child of God, those are my finer qualities. Anybody want to hang out after the meeting tonight? That's what I'm saying when I'm alcoholic. That may sound like a lot of psychobabble, but like I said, obviously, this is how you hear it in most AA meetings. Well, I didn't quite fit in. Oh, okay. I gave you the example. That is all constant proof. That's what alcoholism is. And if you are going to have that state of mind, body, and soul, you are going to drink, and it's not going to be for a problem. It's going to be for the solution, because the problem is life. The problem is sobriety. The solution is alcohol. I suffer from alcoholism. I've got three treatments. One of them's to drink. It did for 17 years was the answer. When that no longer worked, door number two, spiritual awakening, spiritual experience. And I don't mean this in tongue-in-cheek or any other way. Door number three is to blow my brains out. Because I cannot, will not live in sobriety or untreated alcoholism. So don't tell me, don't drink and go to me, you're going to be okay. We're killing each other. Don't tell me, don't drink and fake it till you make it. You know how many I buried by faking it? They faked it all the way to the Undertaker or to the penitentiary. Don't tell me I'm going to, don't drink and I'm going to feel better. I'll feel better, all right. The guilt, the shame, the remorse, the terror, the bewilderment, frustration, despair. Not drinking is not a substitute for drinking if you're a real alcoholic. I need something with depth and weight, and that's what this book talks about. Absolutely powerful. So, real quickly, how we got here. Absolutely fascinating. Why we're here. And the ones that have been back again, I'll speak for myself. I rejoin AA every year. Not that I've left, but it's a recommit and submit to what? The 12 steps. And to who? God. And a way of life, obviously. And try to turn in knowledge into experience. Challenge myself. Question myself. Once again, what I think I know can hold me back from what I need to know. He talks about being bigoted and prejudiced. We're not talking about race and creed and sexual preference. That can keep me sick. Obviously, he talks about 11 times about prejudice in this book. Very, very dangerous. I need to believe my doubts and doubt my beliefs. Turn the statements into questions. In other words, it's the constant slaying of self. Ego deflation at depth. T-Bolt, one of Bill's advisors, told obviously Bill, Bill in the taking and the retaking of the steps constantly deflates the ego. The alcoholic ego does and will come back. So somebody says, why do you do this? You know, it's real simple. Number one, good reason not to drink. Number two, I like where it takes me. Number three, if I'll do what they did, talking about the first 100, I'll get what they got. That's a recovered alcoholic, not recovering, okay? All right, and I will obviously get that. And obviously, my whole life takes off. And that was without exaggeration. And also, too, by now, I've heard enough of this SS in a year that I could just puke. My barf bag this year is just, my cup runneth over. So I had enough. And here's the real last reason of this, obviously, is it's a matter of life and death. Love to have fun, love to joke, whatever. Ain't no joke. Because I got an illness, I got a sickness, I got a malady. It's got one job. It's to kill me. And it ain't going away. It don't have vacations. It don't have anniversaries. It don't take any time off. 24/7. Not be a grim reaper. It is what it is. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. That's how important it is. So, obviously, as you can see, I'm here to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comforter. My wife says I do a good job of that last one. And we find out this big book is like a Christmas present. It is no good unless you open it up, obviously. And I say it's more like a birthday gift because it gives us new life. Oh, yeah, he talks about that in the book. We are reborn. Even Silkworth, the non-alcoholic neurologist, says to recreate our life. That's what it is. It's a whole lot more than putting the plug in the jug and you're going to be okay. So how did we get here? Obviously, we started this real quick. And here's where some of the statistics. It started in that summer of 94, so that means I contacted Charlie in 93. And it started with seven or eight people in the living room. There's a couple of us in this room tonight. It was just guys that I sponsored, just the good old boys. And one thing led to another. And one of the guys that was there, we started going from house to house because we were running out of room. And I don't know what year it was. One of the guys that I was sponsoring lived over at Georgetown. They have a party room condo. And we were over there. And it kind of warped into where we're at tonight. And been keeping some statistics, and actually mind-boggling, in just the last year, and that's why it's so important. We had over 347 people here last year with 1,796 years sobriety, with the average of 5.18 average. And the year before that, it was 267 with 6.8. And it's absolutely fascinating to see the number of people. I guess we've been, in 2014, it was 306. That average was 3.58. 2013 was a different year, 230 people with the average of 6.36. It's absolutely fascinating to see the ebb and flow, if it will. But the point we're trying to make is that a lot of people have graced us with their presence, and it's just been absolutely life-changing. And not only what God has given, but I have met friends of a lifetime, and this year is going to be no different. And I can tell this year is a feisty crowd. I can kind of sense it, and it's kind of good. And what I'm saying by that is I was over by the coffee pot and heard these two guys talking, and this one guy goes, "Man, I'm so grateful. And I say, "Yeah, me too." And I was going around and, you know, writing stuff on the board. I could hear him say, "Oh, I'm so grateful and that we're here, and I'm so grateful." And he said about four times. I said, "All right, I got to get this and share with the group what this guy's so grateful for." And I said, "Hey, dude, why are you so grateful?" He looked at me dead in the eye. He says, "I'm so grateful I'm not as ugly as you are." So, oh, man. So, all right. That came from this side of the room, Tony Thomas. So, anyhow, that's good. Yeah. If that wasn't bad enough, I was back over there again, you know, and I'm sensitive, you know. I got, oh, by the way, that's a new thing. I'm going to have some hurt feeling reports. If you got hurt feelings, you can fill that report out. Anyhow, so I was back over there. I said, "God, I got to get away from this guy." So I heard this other guy. He says, "Man, I've been waiting for this for a long time. I've been waiting for a whole year." I said, "Yeah, me too." And I heard him say, "I'm waiting for a long time. Been waiting for a long time." I said, "All right, I got to hear what was so good last year that I can sell this year." He says, "No, I'm waiting for you to make an ass out of yourself like you did last year." So I said, "I got to get up here where it's safe." So anyhow, we got a spirited group this year, and I like that. That does my spirit good. It really does. So now, somebody says the motivation for being here. It's real simple. I'll speak for myself, but I think I can speak for a lot of us in here. These 12 steps put me in a zone. And we talk about it, stay with us. That zone is called the fourth dimension. It's not the end zone. Don't even talk about that. No, yeah. And being in this zone, here's four things that happen. Fourth dimension. Write these down if you ain't there, if you haven't been there. I'm exactly who I'm supposed to be. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. I'm who I'm supposed to be right here, right now. So if I drop over dead tonight, mission accomplished. Goal number one. Number two, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Wow. You know, my whole life, I always wanted to be somewhere other than I was, where I was, who I was, and who I was with. That's gone. Okay? You'll see about those, and those are the fifth step promises. Number three, I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And that boils down to this. So I'm plugged in, tuned into the power. Not my power, the power. And that's why we're here. So, with that being said, I would like to read something that I just tried to say there. Number four, plugged into the power. I'm tuned in, plugged into the power. And once you have the power, you're in. And it's a circle, just like this thing here. The no beginning, no end. That's supposed to be a lame circle with a triangle. It's just like It's like this ring. That's what the symbol of a ring, any ring. There is no beginning and there is no end to that. And it's whole, the whole world. And that's what we're talking about. Once you are in that, number four, you're plugged in the power, all those other things. It just goes around and around and around. No beginning and no end. So with that being said, here's a synopsis of maybe where we're at. And you'll never guess who wrote this in the year. And you would say it's written about AA in 2017. And it goes like this. Quote, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been persevered these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and have power as no other has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied, enriched us, and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these things were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and persevering grace, too proud to pray to God that made us." Yeah, I read this last year. Abe Lincoln wrote that before the Civil War. I would say that would be a description of Alcoholics Anonymous 2017. Isn't wisdom a lasting thing? That will never, ever go away. Abe Lincoln, 1860s. Fascinating. So, just a few observations, obviously, and we'll go with this and some of them. And please bear with us. We will get to the book some week. No, I mean, we're just, what we got to do, you got to till the soil first before you get the seed in the ground. God will do the watering. He produces the sunlight, and it grows, but stay with us. It's just take my word for it. If not, ask for somebody who's been here the years before. So, here's where we're at, obviously. Like I said, this we're going to go ahead and talk about this real quick, the circle and triangle. Go ahead and do that. One of the misunderstood things, and it's a fancy thing, we all got them in our medallions here, right? And by the way, the medallion, the circle, and the triangle, it's a beautiful thing. The bottom line, you can't hardly read it, is called the 12 Steps of Recovery. This thing here is called the 12 Traditions, and yeah, we'll talk about that, which is unity, and we have this other leg of this triangle called the 12 Steps, which is service. So you say 12 and 12 and 12 is 36 spiritual principles, but not. In concept 12, he gives us 6 warranties. And we have 42 spiritual principles in Alcoholics Anonymous. Recovery obviously deals with the body, unity with the mind and spirit, obviously with a service in the soul. And we're talking about, that is the three-legged triangle of Alcoholics Anonymous. Bill called it a three-legged stool. And if you have a stool that's got three legs and you take one out, if you sit on that, chances are you're going to fall. If you've only got one leg on that three-legged stool, I guarantee you your ass is going to be on the floor. So what I'm saying is, obviously, what we're talking about recovery, which we are for the whole time, is but a tip on the iceberg of this thing called recovery from alcoholism, from a seamless, hopeless state of mind and body. Now, we have another thing here, too. And if I offend you early, good. I've accomplished my job. G-O-D. We're going to start that, and we're going to end that. Now, G-O-D, I've heard it said, group of drunks, I'll give it to you. G-O-D, good early direction, I'll give it to you. G-O-D, I call it a gift of desperation. And desperation is a gift. Surrender is a gift. I can't will it, I can't make it, it don't happen either, it's given. A gift of desperation. Now, talking about what it really is, G-O-D, God. Over 70 times he uses that word God in the book. Over 300 times with different references he refers to that. Somebody says, "My God, aren't you afraid of running a newcomer out?" I said, "Oh, hell no, because if God runs them out, whiskey's going to run them back in." I mean, that's what it is. Because if I don't talk about God, I'm not talking about Alcoholics Anonymous. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Don't shoot the messenger. Like I said, it is what it is. Can't talk enough about that because that's where we're at. So whenever you hear me say it's all good, that's a nice way of saying it's all God. Take one O out of the good word good and it's all God. So it's all God. And that's what they told me. Now, we're going to talk about this real quick and we're going to get down to some of it. This thing here, this sobriety versus recovery. He talks about sobriety in the book 12 times. He talks about recovery 57. He talks recover 20, recovered, past tense 12 times, recovering twice, recovers twice, and recoveries once. So you see, being physically sober, yes, that is important. But recovery, totally different. Just like the difference between fellowship and program. And when you come back that week, which is in a couple weeks, when we talk about what the fellowship and what a program is, totally different. And what we're talking about in the book, 28 times he gives us a description of what the fellowship is. And 25 times he gives us the definition of what the program is. And they are totally different. They are not the same. So I need to know what, obviously, my way out is. Now, one last thing and we'll be on with it. We talked about Alcoholics Anonymous and SF and FF and HH and RR. We talked about the real deal, Alcoholics Anonymous. This is what we're going to talk about. Much to my amazement, the current statistic as of January of 2017, do you know how many fellowships World Services has given the 12 steps and the 12 traditions to? It blew my mind. It almost made me puke, but I'm glad in a good way. 663 different fellowships. That's a beautiful thing. That way, how about if we keep AAAA? Right? Alcoholics Anonymous. And we'll jump to a lot of weeks ahead where, remember, it says, remember that we deal with alcohol. Cunning, baffling. It doesn't say alcohol and alcohol. 663 fellowships have found out what we got. So how about if we keep our fellowship? Oh, well, that's right. Declaration of Unity, and I'm responsible. I'm starting to get it. 663 times. Now, that's the one that New York's written off and said, you're good to go. There's probably another 600 that's just done it and haven't even asked them, but that's a different story for a different day. But what I'm saying is, Alcoholics Anonymous is Alcoholics Anonymous. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. In other words, the only chance of recovery of a real alcoholic of the hopeless variety is not to change AA to me. I must change AA or I'm going to die. And I'm here to tell you, when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, July 10th of 1987, I was a whole lot of other things. Still am. But you're going to have to pry that out of me either before or after meeting. In Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm an alcoholic. All that other stuff is all that other stuff. I'll give you an example, not outside issues. Somebody says, okay, what are you talking about? I said, all right, I'll give you an example. My sobriety date, alcohol sobriety date, July 10th, 1987. Quit smoking cigarettes 2 years after that. Different story for a different day. But this is the sobriety date I like to keep track of. My emotional sobriety date. Somebody goes, when is that? And I looked at my watch and I said about 10 minutes ago. So let's go on with this thing here. So, yeah. Okay. Now, what we're saying here, obviously, the head thinks where the feet have tread. In my life, my feet have been in a lot of different places, and now my head's following that, or is it the other way around? I can only lead where I've been. Can't transmit something you haven't got. Sounds too simple. The answer's in the answer, not in the problem, y'all. Okay? AA has a rhythm, and better dance the steps or else I'm out. Juanita, you taught me this one. A's 12 steps are like a snitch. They'll tell on you when you're not taking them. And by the way, snitches get stitches, if you didn't know that. So, yeah. Yeah, yeah. At least where I come from, you know how it is. So, anyhow, yeah. In either case, you're going to get roughed up. I guarantee you that. So, all right. Now, this is a survey that I've sent to New York, and this is how we're at in... Yeah, we'll have some time with this. Now, sit down. This is a survey of alcoholics and their behavior. And this is what we got in AA. A third of us used to belly up the bar, wallowing our beer, crying our whiskeys. Some enjoy it, but some would know that there's more than that. A third of us would drink till we felt better, then we'd go home. Then the third of us wouldn't settle for wallowing in our beer, crying in the whiskey. They knew there was a lot more than that in alcohol. They knew there was a lot more than sitting in the middle of the room and drinking until you felt better and go home. No, they went for it all. The DUIs, the fights, the emergency rooms, crash cars, jail. I call them the mad dogs, and I can tell there's a lot of them in here. Yeah, yeah, okay. Those three types of people come to AA. All right, now let's see what happens with the three types of drinkers or alcoholics in AA. Some come in, type number one. They come to AA and settle for the same thing like they did when they were drinking. A third of them wallow in their crap, cry in their big book, because they don't know there's anything better than that in AA. See it all the time. Same old problem, year after year, yeah, yeah, yeah. And get that uh-huh machine, I'll come back to you. A third of them go to meetings, they feel better and go home. Watch out, though. Later on, they have problems with gratitude, because guess what? It's over. They've received what they want, and they're not giving away. And the third of them I will call the mad dogs. Go for it all, doing it all, want it all, and getting it all. That's what he talks about. Half measures avail you nothing. That's what he said. That's the unofficial survey in Alcoholics Anonymous. But I tell you what, I know there's some other mad dogs in here besides me. I can feel the room vibrating. See, keep coming back. Now, in this process, I will caution you. All, I'm going to say that. That's a big word. All, not some, not most, not a lot, not quite a few. All spiritual paths have traps. Oh, there's a lot of traps in this book. And I guarantee you the alcoholic ego will find them. I'm going to read some of the traps on there. Okay? What I'm saying is, obviously, the spiritual truths don't make intellectual sense. It's always the opposite of what I think. In other words, try to be interested in what I do, not interested in myself. Try to be childlike, not childish. We don't grow up in AA, we grow down. There's another book that talks about that. Now, we talked about this ego thing. The ego, alcoholic ego, reasserts itself, and here's what it is. It denies and forgets where the power comes from. In short, it denies the grace of God. This denial, if you've been around long enough, you know what I'm talking about, and it's coming. Buckle up, buttercup, it's coming, okay? It's a thing called life, okay? This denial can be subtle, or it can be blatant. Since this isn't video, blatant is that. Okay? It says, here's what it is. I found life goes on, and I'm free with it the way it is, or I'm bound by it, by a prisoner the way it is. So am I going to be free, or am I going to be a prisoner the way life is? Another thing, too, there's nobody in this room and in this whole world closer to God than anybody else. Nobody, okay? It's our awareness of God that is different, where we may seem like it, but nobody is, okay? It's our perception of truth, our awareness that counts. So when our truth changes, so does the awareness of God. We were talking about before that at the meeting. Challenge your belief and believe your challenges. Okay. Now, the ego, alcoholic ego, will go for relief and not freedom. Boy, there's a whole lot of difference. If you want relief, take Rolaids. If you want freedom, take the 12 steps. Okay? That's where we're at. Okay? And here's how the ego is going to work. It's called the ESD. I'm either the sickest, the wellest, or any other S you want to listen to. Okay? The function of the ego is to get me to any place where God isn't. And guess where God is not? God is right here, right now. God's not in the past, and he's not in the future. That's why the alcoholic ego always wants us to be living in the past or in the future, because it's taking you away from the power that shuts you off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity returns. We drink and we die. That is the function of the alcoholic ego, and it is coming back. And it is back, and it comes back even smarter, stronger than ever before. Okay, Ego wants me to keep in the past and the future. Ego wants me to blame and shame so it can keep the problem on the outside. Her, him, it, them, past, mom, dad, future, IRS, health problems, all the stuff that we use. That's a function of the ego, is to put it on the outside. Obviously, so we can keep out it, resent it, and fear it. Go figure, that's why we have the inventory. We do our resentments and fears. The ego is so slick, it will never touch ourselves until the inventory process, columns 4 and 5. Stay with me if you haven't been with the columns yet, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Fascinating process. Ego by nature is a thief. It tries to take the answers from the outside and put them in here. Don't work, it's got to be in here. The function of the ego is simple. To separate me from you, to separate me from myself, and most importantly, to separate me from Almighty God. That is the function. The ego will tell me the things I need. What my ego tells me are lies. It's BS. The ego will sneak the BS, I cleaned it up, until the fourth step. The ego attaches to what you think is true. The ego sucks the truth out of the truth. It's like a cancer cell. It multiplies. Before you know it, there is nothing what it started with. Okay? The ego sucks the life right out of us. Ego will convince the more that I learn, the more I get. Knowledge, that is, not power. So it's not true. The more I learn, the more power I have.